Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. You know, food and wine go together well. A glass of wine can bring out aromas, flavors, and textures in food that you may not experience otherwise, and keep your taste buds tantalized after each bite. A good pairing makes for an all-senses-on-deck dining experience. Likewise, cooking with wine as an actual ingredient in your recipe can make magic happen in a saucepan or on a plate. It's on our mind today because this weekend, in fact, is the Saratoga Food and Wine Festival. Now, we have brought in some experts, or at this point an expert, but maybe experts, from some of the finest restaurants in Albany. Chef Mark Graham's culinary journeys have taken him across our region and to California's Napa Valley, where he worked under Wolfgang Puck and Michael French, learning to craft wine-friendly cuisine. He has been billed as having a, quote, inventive, bold style that marries flirty central flavors with a multicultural blend of ingredients, technique, and finesse. There's a sentence I never thought I would have to read. He is currently the executive chef at Taste in downtown Albany, and to boot, he's not here. But he might show up, so I'm doing the intro anyway. Now, the person who is here is Seaborn Jones. He studied culinary arts in Florence and worked at the Tenute Silvio Nardi Winery in Montalcino, maker of the famous Brunello. And, oh, the chef is on his way. I just got a note from our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Not sure when. So Seaborn Jones is here. He is a certified sommelier with the Court of Master Sommeliers and is a member of the French Food and Wine Society. And he's currently the sommelier at Angelo's 677 Prime here in Albany. Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here, Ray.
So
Thank you
know Mark Graham, right?
Of course.
So what's up? Does he not have a planner or a little iPhone or something?
I think it's a chef thing.
Oh, it's a chef thing?
It's a chef thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? Note to self. Double check with the chef before the program. Well, nice to have you here. And the big Saratoga Wine and Food Festival is this weekend. And I know Mazon is involved with that. And also here today, briefly, to talk about the Saratoga Wine and Food Festival, or Food and Wine Festival, Jamie Balog, who's marketing director for Mazon Hospitality. So this is a three-day event, and it starts tonight, right?
Yes, it does. Yep.
And what happens tonight?
Tonight is the Barbecue Blues and Brews competition. There's about five restaurants from Manhattan coming up to Saratoga, as well as five Capital Region restaurants, and they're all competing with some sort of steak, a starch, and a veg side. It's open to the public. I think tickets are $85 a person. There's a judge's choice or a judge's vote, and then also a people's choice.
And who
so
are
that's
the judges?
Tonight. I know Steve Barnes from the Times Union is
oh,
one of them.
Oh, Barnes is
yeah.
one, eh?
There's a Chopped, one of the Chopped personalities is coming up. I can't think of his name.
It's fine.
And then there's another two or three.
So they have some credentials.
Yes,
and they're
definitely.
Not bribable, presumably.
I don't think so. I'll have to find
All
out.
Right. Fair enough. And then tomorrow is the grand tasting, and yes. You will be involved with that as well.
Of course, yes. We've been involved with the Saratoga Food and Wine Festival for a number of years now.
I think since it started.
And tomorrow's the big day where we have Capital Region restaurants, wine vendors, spirits vendors, all set up underneath the tents, right on the spec grounds. And it's a great event. You come up, you get your glass, you walk around, you taste, you can go to the little booths, try all sorts of different foods, little bites, and of course some great wine.
So this is food, wine, and spirits, and it's tomorrow. And then on Sunday is the big brunch. By the way, I forgot to give you the number to call. It's 1-800-348-2551. This is a call-in show. 1-800-348-2551. If you have a question for Seaborn Jones, we'd love to hear from you. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/voxpop. You can tweet at WAMC Vox Pop. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. We will have a Vox Pop post there. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. If you've seen Chef Graham, you might want to let him know the show is on the air. 1-800-348-2551. So, Seaborn, how did you get involved and how did you get interested in wine?
Well, it started really before I was 21. I took a year off of college and I started working in a local wine shop in Slingerlands.
Yeah.
And the woman who owned the shop, Sheila McNeil, kind of took me under her wing and started teaching me about wine and bringing me to food and wine dinners. And I just started reading and developed a passion for it. So as I got more and more into it, I started doing tastings, and then eventually moved to Italy to do a couple semesters abroad in school, and got involved with the wineries over there.
What did you learn when you went abroad that isn't readily apparent to those of us who are in the wine buying public?
Well, honestly, more what I learned abroad was the physical aspect of it, the production. I mean, I did go to culinary school and study some wine classes over there, mostly focused on Italian wines in Florence and in Montalcino, right outside of Florence.
Mm-hmm.
But over there, it was the grunt work, the manual labor. It was literally unloading the trucks and the tractors, the grapes, the crushing,
Okay, let's talk about the crushing. Now, of course, the classic stereotype is, Lucy on the Lucy show.
With the feet and everything.
With the feet in the big barrel. That's not the way
it
happens?
It's become a little bit more sophisticated, a little bit more modernized than that. Yeah, it's essentially... laundry baskets almost full, and they come tractor trailer loads to you at the winery, and it's dumping them into a crusher, which is essentially like an auger almost that removes the berries from the stems.
Right.
And then it all goes through large hoses and tubes into the fermenters, into the steel tanks where it's fermented and goes from there.
So modern technology being what it is, is wine better today than it was, say, 200 years ago? Or is the old way still a better way to do it? It's just not perhaps a cost-effective way?
Definitely not a cost-effective way, and certainly more labor-intensive to do it the way that it had been done hundreds of years ago. And there are purists that'll argue that, classic and more traditional winemaking techniques, especially in France and Italy and the old world countries, they will argue that the wine that's produced that way is superior. But
what's going on? Oh, we got a chef.
I think the chef is
chef
finally
here.
Arrived.
Well, come on in. You're welcome to join the show. It's Vox Pop. I'll give the number once again. Chef Mark Graham is here. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. So if you missed it, Chef Graham, we've been talking about wine and the old ways of making it and the new ways of making it. In your estimation, Seaborn Jones, what makes a great wine? Why is one wine good, aside from maybe the vintage and the grapes? What makes it? What in the manufacturing process differentiates a great wine from a meh wine?
I would say the balance. It's really a balance of everything coming together. The acidity, the fruit. I mean, it's really just a mess. Oh, boy.
Chef Mark Graham comes in, the whole show goes to hell. What happened? Where were you, man?
He's pulling steaks out of what is going on over here?
Well, I came to show off a little bit.
All right, fair enough. And our producer's here. As soon as food shows up, Jessica Blaustein Marshall is very nearby.
Everybody wants to play.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's nice to have you here as well.
Absolutely. Albany traffic was a monster.
Was it really?
It's lunch hour, so everybody's running around.
You can't get a police escort for this show?
I thought about it, but I don't want to be too showy.
Well, that's probably a good thing. Once again, the number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. We've been talking wine. We'll also talk food. Tell you what, Zach, while all the noise is going on, why don't we take a break? We'll hear a little bumper music. We'll hear some underwriting, and then we'll be back with your calls on Vox Pop.
Support for WMT comes from Taste of New Paltz, 24th Annual Festival, offering tastes from regional restaurants, wineries, farm markets, and craft beer, plus live music and crafts, Sunday, September 14th, Ulster County Fairgrounds, newpaltzchamber.org. Carrie Haddad Gallery, presenting playful, colorful works on wood, plaster, and Play-Doh, through September 21st, open daily, carriehaddadgallery.com. The Bee's Knees Cafe at Heather Ridge Farm, Preston Hollow, New York. Monthly supper club, 5-course dinner, Saturday, September 6th at 7 p.m., 518-239-6234 for reservations. And Cafe Capriccio, offering dining and catering with Tuscan cuisine in Albany, New York, and Neapolitan cuisine in Saratoga Springs. CafeCapriccio.com for reservations.
lovely music. That's Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday. Now we have the full complement of sommelier and chef and publicist and radio host and producer. It's things are mellowing out here on the program. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Chef Mark Graham of Taste in downtown Albany.
Finally.
Braved the traffic. What have you brought?
I brought you some seared duck breast with a little fennel salt on there, with some pickled dried cranberries, some my Marcona almonds, and maitake mushrooms.
Wow.
So I'm going to
So these are the flirty, sensual flavors that we talked about in the introduction?
Absolutely.
All right, man. So we'll give it a shot here.
So taste that, and then I want Seaborn to, we can talk wine with that.
Of course.
So we'll go back and forth and see what some ideas.
All right, let's take a picture of this, too, for the website, WAMC.org, and on Facebook. You know, the presentation is beautiful, even though you literally just presented it here in the studio. Presentation means a lot, doesn't it?
Presentation is key, especially when you're working in a fine dining realm where people expect their eyes to do most of the work. Taste is obviously important, but if it doesn't look pretty, people will get a little reticent about sitting down and trying it out. So
I find that interesting. So there is a real psychological component to what you do.
Well, there is, and people eat with their eyes. To some, a big bowl of spaghetti sauce with the steaming and cheese shredded on it, that makes you salivate. To some, a nice smear of some bright-colored stuff with some sliced stuff on top of some mashed stuff makes people, you know, giddy. So
yeah,
you got to know what your audience is looking for and what you're trying to say with your food. It is art as well as craft. And we enjoy it, and involving the wine making and that creation is also art. So we combine the three.
I wish I had known. I would have brought a nice bottle of Pinot Noir. Or
now you say
amazing.
It.
I know. Right?
So Seaborn Jones, what wine would go well with this seared duck?
Traditionally, with duck breast like this, cooked so perfectly.
It does.
I would probably do a nice Pinot Noir, either from Oregon's Willamette Valley, California's Russian River Valley, or my personal favorite would probably be a nice red Burgundy, a Volnay or a Pommard, something a little lighter bodied, not quite as fruit forward, a little earthier.
I agree with that, especially when you match it with the mushrooms.
With the mushrooms and everything in there, yeah. It's got that earthiness to it. So a nice earthy Burgundian style from Oregon would also go well.
Yeah, that'd be yummy.
So it's a pity you didn't bring any, but still, I mean, you know, it's fine.
We can imagine.
So domestic wines are not outside of your realm. You're fine with that nowadays.
No, domestic wines are definitely not outside my realm at all, especially down at the steakhouses, because our cuisine down there kind of calls for Napa Valley Cabernets. Mm. Steakhouses traditionally are more... the cuisine is geared toward that big Napa cab. They all say cab and a slab. That's the big thing. It's a Napa cab and a nice, rich steak. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. My heart is Italian wine. I love French wine. I love old world wines. But the majority of the wines that I'm going to have are going to be California and New World wines.
And you know, we've had experts on the program before, and everybody's uniform in saying the quality of the best domestic wines, it's improving all the time.
Of course. And it has been steadily the last couple decades. I mean, people, ever since the big blind tasting in France, which I don't know if you've seen the movie Bottle Shock.
No.
It's the story of a California winery, Chateau Montelena, that entered their 1974, I believe, Chardonnay in a blind competition in France against all of the white Burgundies and won for the first time.
Wow.
And it kind of opened the world's eyes to California and California winemaking and kind of put some legitimacy and... a little bit more of a notoriety behind California wines.
How about East Coast?
East Coast, there are some great things going on in the Finger Lakes, mostly with colder climate varietals like Rieslings.
I hear that a lot, like Riesling from the Finger Lakes.
From
and
the
whatnot.
Finger Lakes, yeah. Absolutely. They are definitely quality wines. And even the North Fork Long Island makes some nice whites and reds. There's some wine coming out of Virginia. They're even making wine down in Florida. I'm not saying it's
quite have up. You tried it?
I have. Okay, and I'm not saying it's quite up to the French or the Italians or even some of the vineyards in New York, but there's wine coming out
of... Grapefruit wine? What do they do down there?
Yeah, they do some sparkling wines. They do some fruit wines. There's some great sparkling wines coming out of New Mexico.
I'll be darned.
Gruet, sparkling wine. Hmm. Nice kind of champagne style out of New Mexico.
Well, we have some phone calls to take here. We're joined by Seaborne Jones of Angelo's 677 Prime and also Chef Mark Graham of Taste in downtown Albany. Let's go to the phones, 800-348-2551. Ray in the Adirondacks. Good name, Ray. You're up. Are you still with us, Ray?
Did you say Ray?
Yeah, is that you?
Yes.
It's me, too. Yeah, all right. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just, in a sense, wanted to make a comment and maybe even get some advice. I started drinking wine seriously in the 1970s, and one of my very, very favorite kinds of wine, and my wife's too, was the Great Chablis. I'm from France, and I'm talking about Grand Cru Chablis, Les Preux, Grand Guis, and so on. But since that time, those wines have lost their really strong, nutty, sharpness, and it becomes so mollified, I think, under the influence of California wines that are much more fruity, that I cannot find a really great Chablis to my taste anymore, and have not for several decades. Is there any solution?
Seaborne.
There's definitely some very nice Chablis being made out there. And you are right that the winemaking style in France in Burgundy has definitely changed, especially in the last decade or two. We find that the French winemakers, not all of them, but some in particular, have kind of adapted their winemaking style to favor New World palates, the American palate. You have some Bordeaux producers, Rhone producers, Burgundy producers that really are making wine that's more geared towards the American palate. But that being said, there are some great producers that make Chablis that are still of that style.
I would be grateful for any assistance.
Well, yeah, I mean, William Fevre, the big established houses, of course, one caveat to this whole thing is the Premier Cru Chablis, they're not always going to be, the best value for the dollar.
Because they
tend to be on the expensive side. Right now,
that's why I don't buy them anymore.
Right now at 677 Prime, we pour a beautiful Premier Cru Chablis by the glass, and it's fairly reasonable from the Côte de Liche. It's about $13, $12 or $13 a glass.
Right.
And it's kind of that style. It's not the real acidic minerality that you would find. It's more kind of geared towards the way winemaking was when you were enjoying Chablis.
It's that chalky dryness, that minerality that I'm really missing.
Understood.
In the Chablis that I've tried in recent years.
Ray, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We're joined by Chef Mark Graham and sommelier Seaborne Jones. And I got to tell you, Chef Graham, the duck's good, man. the seared duck. Now, so this is fairly rare.
Yes, it is.
And this is okay.
Be.
I mean, you're the expert, right?
Well, no, but good duck, you don't want to overcook. You want the fat to speak to you and all the yumminess in the flesh. So,
this goes against what the ordinary guy on the street would think about poultry in general.
Well, the issue with chicken and duck are two different worlds. The issue with chicken is the mass production and the dangers that might come there, and that where it was safer just to make sure that it was cooked all the way through.
Yeah.
But with duck, the processing is smaller, the production houses are smaller, so the dangers are smaller as well. Not to mention they feed and they live differently. They live different lives.
And the texture is just so interesting this way. It's really nice.
Well, if you cooked it all the way through,
dry,
it would be dry.
Yeah.
You leave the little medium rareness, and it works well.
It's nice. Let's go back to the phones. And Margo in Old Chatham, you're on.
Hi, Ray. I was just taken by your question early on about whether the old ways of producing wine were better or worse. And it strikes me that now, and I think this came up a little in the last question, a lot of producers are making what I would call the international style, and they're making to a Western palate, and we're losing a lot of the smaller, more interesting varieties. A lot of the smaller varieties of grapes aren't being grown anymore, and I'm getting a lot of Merlot in my Grave, and it's just a different kind of thing that's happening. Not necessarily good, but it's not so much the way the wine is being made, but it's the way it's being blended. Does that sound right?
To a certain extent, yeah. The way most wines, old world wines anyway, French wines, Bordeaux's in particular, are always going to be a blend. You can say that about California wines as well. Generally in California, even if the label says Napa Valley Cabernet, you are right. There's going to be Merlot or Cabernet Franc, one of the five Bordeaux varietals, which is Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. So generally in a California wine, even though the label says Cabernet Sauvignon, there is going to be a certain small percentage of either Merlot, Cab Franc, or one of those other varietals.
Isn't that false advertising?
It has to do with the AVA, the American Viticulture Association, and the way they their laws are made. It has to be, it's just like it is in Chianti. In America, it has to be a certain percentage, over 75, 85% of that grape varietal to be called Cabernet. Same way in Italy, in Chianti, it has to be 85% Sangiovese to be called a Chianti. And then there are about 9 or 10 other grapes that are also thrown in the mix, in the blend, to either build up the body of the wine, to gear the wine towards what the winemaker is looking to do.
Margo, thanks a lot for the call. So the blending has to be part of the art. You say Bordeaux is...
Of course, the blending, according to the winemaker, that's the magic. That's the trick to making fine wine is what's in the blend, whether it's softening up the wine, adding Merlot or softer grape varietals to Cabernet Sauvignon, or something with a little bit more to it to kind of beef it up, depending on the vintage, depending on the weather. All of this kind of comes into play when a winemaker is blending their wine.
So when you say some other grapes are thrown in, they're not thrown in. There's a great deal of thought and history and experience that goes with it.
And as we were talking, more and more, it's chemistry and modernization and science really behind it now.
We are joined today by Chef Mark Graham of Taste in downtown Albany. And boy, the seared duck. Now, you had pickled cranberries there.
Pickled dried cranberries,
and
correct.
What is the nut?
What is the nut?
What is the nut?
It's a Spanish almond called Marcona almonds.
It is a delicious dish.
Yeah, one of my favorite nuts because it has sort of a buttery texture to it, and it just adds a nice little, it adds the nutty flavor, but it's not peanutty.
Mm.
And almonds, the Marcona almonds, just have, there's a subtlety to them that I think is more sophisticated than...
And a reminder that Jessica Blaustein Marshall, our producer, took some lovely photos of this dish, and you'll find it on our website and, on, I believe, on our Facebook post for our Vox Pop Food Friday. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. And back to the phones we go. Jim in Ballston Lake. Jim, you're up.
Hi, good afternoon. Yeah, my tastes are a bit simpler than the prior callers. I like salad, especially in the summer. You know, and with vinegar-based dressing. My favorite salad is Greek salad with balsamic vinaigrette. And I really haven't found a wine that would go well with either of those. A regular summer salad with olive oil and vinegar. Is there any wine type that would be good for that?
The acidity in those kinds of dressing makes pairing wine difficult. generally with a salad, especially as I'm sure the chef would agree, when we do a wine dinner, generally you don't pair wine with a salad course in a sit-down dinner unless there is some sort of other element involved,
so meat in the salad would make it okay.
Would call for a wine to be paired with it.
Okay.
In that case, I would steer you away from really acidic grapes like Sauvignon Blanc, depending on if you are going to add a protein, some chicken or shrimp or something along those lines. Go with something with a little bit of oak to it, like a Sonoma County, Russian River Valley Chardonnay. But as a general rule, I like to just tell people, drink what you like. That's if you
cold
want
duck.
A nice, exactly.
Sure.
Yeah, a little entree.
Yeah, why not?
Not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Stick with the Wild Irish Rice.
Yeah, of course, of course. If you prefer some whiskey and salad, then go for it.
But we kid, right? You all set, Jim?
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much.
I appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. Chef Mark Graham is here. Seaborn Jones is here. The Saratoga Food and Wine Festival is this weekend. Back to the phones. Anna and Altamont, you're on.
Yes, I have a question for each of the guests. First, about wine. Do you have any familiarity or experience with Moravian wines from the Czech Republic, and can you comment on them if you do?
Honestly, I don't really have that much experience with those Eastern European wines. I have tasted them in the past, but honestly, in this country, we don't see a lot of them being imported by the major distributors and importers that that we deal with.
Why?
So it's not something that we would seek out. I'm sure it has a lot to do with the popularity. The quality and the reputation behind them just isn't there yet.
But they must have been making wine for centuries there
course,
as well.
Of course.
Is it climate? Is it the earth? What's the issue?
It has to do with the climate and of course the reputation. I mean the French, they've all been doing wine for centuries, of course. But a lot of that stuff kind of stays where it is. The volume isn't there. They don't make enough of it to be exported and distributed. And so a lot of it stays right where it's made.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because the region was not part of the Western world for a long time.
Of course.
Go ahead.
Well, and as Chef was about to say, there also doesn't tend to be a huge demand for it in this country, which definitely is a big issue.
All right, sure. Go ahead, Anna.
Okay, and now the question for the chef. Are wild mushrooms used at all in the restaurants in the area and region? And if they are, what are their regulations about their use, and what is the status of wild mushrooms right now?
I would say that there are wild mushrooms definitely used in a lot of the
local
mushrooms, and there are certified pickers, if you will, mushroom hunters,
foragers
who need to be licensed. I'm not gonna buy some chanterelles from a guy who just
has them in his backyard.
That would be unsafe. But there are trusted and certified mushroom hunters that and the local, you can find local chanterelles or morels that are, especially after the rain, they come popping up, and they're usually associated with the smaller farmers who have lots of land to work with, and they'll bring product.
And then the state then certifies these pickers or foragers?
Yeah, there's definitely licensing and insurance responsibility to make sure that if something goes awry, which usually doesn't.
Well, that's good. Anna, thank you very much. Two great questions. We have to take a short breather here. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. We're joined by Chef Mark Graham and Sommelier Seaborn Jones. We'll be back. Thank you.
Support for WAMC comes from Hudson Valley Fresh Dairy, a partnership of 9 Hudson Valley dairy farms providing fresh local milk, cream, sour cream, and yogurt to our neighbors, hudsonvalleyfresh.com. Sundog Cider at Sulagua, locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples, unfiltered, naturally gluten-free, handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York, sundogcider.com. Larry's Southwestern Sauces, locally produced Mexican cooking sauces, available at natural food stores in New York and New England and online, larryssouthwesternsauces.com. And Kern Compliance Services, hosting a national symposium on life insurance compliance November 12th through the 14th in Saratoga Springs, featuring keynote speaker Cynthia Cooper, author of Extraordinary Circumstances, KernCompliance.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. It is a fine food Friday. We talked wine and food today with Mark Graham and Seaborn Jones and you at home at 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Toby in Cornwall, Connecticut. Toby, you're on.
Oh, hi. Yes, I was listening to your show and listening to this lovely duck with fennel sauce.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was wondering, could you briefly just describe how you cook the duck and make the fennel sauce, because I have got both right there in my fridge, and it sounds good.
Oh, perfect. Well, actually, there's no. I didn't use a sauce. What I used is fennel, fennel salt, and I just fennel seed, ground it, and blend it with salt, and season that on the duck. But if you
actually, oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So you didn't use fresh fennel then.
No, I used fennel, fennel salt. But if you were going to make a sauce, I can make a recommendation for that. If you've got bulbs, you could roast the bulbs with garlic and shallots and then puree that as a nice spread that you can add with the duck later. Or you could cook it down like in a stock with onions and garlics and mirepoix, a little wine, and then some chicken stock on top of that to bring out the fennel in that, and finish it with a little Pernell just to let it to brighten it up, and then strain it off, and that could be your broth, and finish that with butter, because butter is everything.
And how do you cook the duck?
If you're using, this is Moulard, which happens to be the largest duck breast used. You can score the skin. Some people don't. I prefer to score it, just to give it a couple of nice knife slices so that the fat has to drain, is allowed to drain somewhere. And you put it on the skin side, and you basically render down the fat until it's crispy, and then flip it over on the muscle side and cook it for 2 or 3 minutes until it's nice and medium rare.
Great. Well, thank you very, very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy that.
Okay.
How do you pick out a good duck? Free range? I remember I worked down in Westchester. I won't say the name of the town, 20-some-odd years ago, and there was a Chinese restaurant, and they got arrested because they were taking ducks from the local pond, the park.
Yikes.
And it's all about the quality of the duck, right?
Yes, and how you raise it.
Yeah.
I'm sure the pond duck was not having a healthy diet.
No.
That's free range at a radical sense. You know, depending on what you're going to do with the duck, if you're using a whole duck and you're going to roast it, then you don't want to use the Maillard because they're enormous. The smaller ducks will have different applications. Some are gamier, depending on what they're fed and how they live.
So what was this duck fed? It's very smooth. It's not gamey at all. It's nice.
You'd have to ask the duck grower.
Well, I mean, you're the man who cooked it.
I didn't feed it.
All right. We're joined by Chef Mark Graham and Seaborn Jones, and back to the phones we go at 1-800-348-2551. Shannon in Averill Park, you're on.
Hi there. I have a champagne question.
Ah, excellent.
Well, the thing is I it was a kind of a barter. I got paid in champagne, and it was kind of a lot of champagne, so I'm looking to figure out how I might be able to sell it, auction it. Maybe it's an auction question.
Oh, no.
All right, well, let's start with this. What kind of champagne did you get paid with?
It is. It's. I know it's good. I wouldn't probably know that myself, but it's Veuve. It's a
Veuve Clicquot.
Yellow, yeah, yes. Yellow label, and I have two cases of it.
Wow.
That's a lot of
we should
Veuve.
Have had you
what
on
are you doing
show?
Right now? I was going to say, what are you doing right now, and how quickly can you get down here?
I know. It's like a party champagne, right? Everybody, like, yeah. I would, I have to do some work, but I could meet you anywhere.
Very kind.
I mean, as far as, what was the question, as far as the value
You're
goes?
Rattled now. You heard two cases of champagne.
Yeah,
champagne. All
right.
Bets are off.
I know the value, well, somewhat, depending, but I would rather be able to auction it or sell it or something like that. I don't need all of that champagne.
Your best bet is on the internet. There's websites like Wine Commune, stuff like that, that you can
find the value.
Find the value and actually place it up for sale as an auction lot.
Is it legal to do that?
It is in states. You have to pay a commission on it.
Okay.
It's not legal. I don't think like on eBay. I don't think they deal with
right.
alcohol. And most stores, restaurants, what have you, in New York State. Cannot touch that either because that is not legal
yeah.
for them to buy
right,
from.
Right, that's what I found. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Auction it.
Or you can
yeah,
auction it and be all right?
I mean, if there was a benefit for
of course, yeah. If you're looking to donate it or give it away,
yeah.
That's one thing. But
right.
to actually sell it or
hang on to it for
just
Christmas.
Drink it.
I was going to say.
Christmas gifts.
Hard.
For,
give it
you
away.
You could cover some Christmas gifts.
I
that's
know.
Right.
Well, that's a very interesting call. I don't think we've ever had one of those before, but good luck.
Yeah, I have no experience with this. Thank you, though. I appreciate your time.
That's fine. And remember, if there's any legal ramifications, we are in no way legally responsible for whatever you do. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Ross in East Nassau. Ross, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm a fan and supporter of New York State wine, so I'm interested in hearing from your experts about whether they have particular favorites, and also which particular foods go best with New York State wine.
Love it. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you, with this lovely duck breast we're eating right here, there are absolutely some New York State wines that I would pair with it that you could. There's some Cabernet Francs from Palmanoc Vineyards down on the North Fork of Long Island. Redtail Ridge makes a nice Pinot Noir. Out of the Finger Lakes, that would go quite nice with it. Like I did say earlier, I kind of preferred the white wines coming out of New York State, especially the Finger Lakes, their Rieslings. And some very nice dessert wines, late harvest dessert wines made of the Chardonnay grape, the Riesling grape, that are kind of my favorites.
So you say dessert wine, piece of cake, and you have wine with it? What are we talking about here?
You're talking about a wine with almost like, I don't know if you're familiar with a French Sauterne or a Tokaj. It's essentially a wine with a little bit more viscosity to it, certainly greater sugar content, that you would drink after dinner.
And after dinner.
Or even traditionally paired with... Something fatty to begin with, like a piece of foie gras, would go great with a late harvest Riesling or a dessert wine out of New York State.
Anything else, Ross? You want to follow up?
Well, yeah, it also seems like I've been hearing a lot about New York ice wines. It seems like they're hot, no pun intended. It seems like there's a lot of buzz around that.
Yeah, of course. The New York State producers are doing really interesting things with ice wines.
How do you make an ice wine?
Well, there's two ways. Really, it kind of started naturally. You literally leave the grapes on the vine until a frost, and it kind of concentrates the sugar, and you get this real thick, viscous, sweeter wine out of the grapes, out of the juice that comes out of it. Or again, with the modernization, in Italy, it's dry ice. They literally, they freeze the grapes themselves. So it's kind of, you know, making the natural way of doing it a little
faster.
Bit more, exactly, a
so
little more modern, faster,
I like to
and
cook
easier.
With ice wines.
Why?
Yeah, I like to cook with ice wines. Well, because it had, again, the sugar content's nice and high. So if you reduce it down and then add a vinegar to it. You can make a nice gastrique, and that'll go with fatty things like the foie gras or duck or things that would pair naturally with fruit.
Ross, savory. Thank you very much for the call. We're joined by Chef Mark Graham of Taste in downtown Albany and Seaborn Jones of Angelo's 677 Prime, also here in Albany. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. So we've been talking about New York wines and ice wines. And, you know, you've seen over the last 20 years a boom in craft beers. And suddenly all these different varieties, and many of them based on old European varieties and old German varieties of beer.
Of course.
Are we seeing this in the wine? Are there interesting varieties that are being done domestically that maybe they don't do over in Europe all that often?
There have been in years past. Now Spanish, Portuguese wines are kind of coming into their own in this country. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with Malbec out of Argentina.
Yeah, I've seen
Malbec
that.
Is... one of the five Bordeaux varietals that was really grown in Bordeaux in France for blending, and they brought it to Argentina, and it took off. It did really well as just a single varietal down there on its own. So was it
a sort of a second tier, one that they would use just in small amounts in some of their other Bordeaux's? Originally,
yes. Originally, Malbec was not the main grape in Bordeaux. It still isn't. It's generally Cabernet or Merlot, depending on which side of the river in Bordeaux it's coming from. But it took off and it grew very well down in Argentina, and obviously they've done some very nice things with it, so that has become very popular in this country as well.
1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Let's go to Susan in Great Barrington. Susan, you're on.
Hi. I have a question about champagne, interestingly enough, since that girl has so much of it.
Yeah. She's not sharing.
My question about champagne is I would like to know if I want to add it to, like, flavor a buttercream or, you know, get the flavor of it into something. How do you do that? Do you just cook it down on the stove like you would anything else?
Absolutely.
Or?
Yeah, absolutely. You bring it down as tight as possible without, drying out or burning your pan. And then when it gets, as it gets thicker naturally because of the water content and the sugars start to concentrate, then you would finish buttering that, add butter to that, and just whisk it in, a nice cold unsalted butter, whisk it in, and then pour on.
Always
whatever.
Butter, though.
Always butter.
Oh,
butter makes it better.
The power of butter.
All right, fair enough. That's
all right, well, thank you very much.
That's absolutely a great question. 1-800-348-2551. The Saratoga Food and Wine Festival is coming up, and I think I overheard you in the break, Chef Graham, saying you're not really involved in this one?
We were going to do it, but we have I've got two weddings back-to-back on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and they involve a lot of preparation and time. So,
you know,
and
the chef talk is kind of frightening because you said I have to prep and then the next day I have to execute the wedding. I think, it's pretty serious business.
That's what we do. We execute.
But Seaborn Jones, you'll be involved to some extent in the Food and Wine
of
Festival.
Of course, yeah. I'll be up there first thing tomorrow morning with the grand tasting.
And what time do you start having a pop?
Tomorrow it's going to be right around noontime. Generally, I wait till noon.
Okay, fair enough. 1-800-348-2551. And to recap, and we'll bring Jamie Balog back in the program. Zach, the engineer, he's drifting off there. So, Jamie, to recap, Friday night, tonight, yeah, is what?
The Barbecue Brews and Blues competition.
Okay.
7 to 10. Tickets are still, you can still get your tickets.
And Jamie Ortiz involved with that one, right?
Yes, our own Jamie Ortiz is competing for 677 Prime and Mazon Hospitality.
Nice.
Yep, and then tomorrow is the grand tasting, 12 to 4.
Okay, 12 to 4, and that will be food and wine.
Food, wine, spirits.
Are they local spirits or are they state?
They're kind of from all over.
It's international.
You
I mean, there's
everything.
Tequilas up
yep.
there, there, you name it.
All right, so, I mean, what can you eat with tequila? I mean, I know salt and lime, but is there anything you can eat with tequila?
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes?
Tomatoes, lime.
Really?
Yeah, and oranges. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. And then on Sunday is the brunch. Tell me about the brunch.
The brunch is at Saratoga National Golf Club. It's featuring our 6 Mazon Hospitality restaurants, all of our executive chefs, so our top chefs, the best in the area. Sorry, Mark.
No, oh, because he's not going to be there. Yeah. That's really nice.
I'll be in Saratoga. Maybe I'll stop over for an omelet.
He'll be executing a wedding.
They're all going to have a station, and I think there's some Bloody Marys, some mimosas. It will be a good time.
And is there a website people can find out more?
SPAC.org. I think they're selling tickets online.
Okay. Very good.
Yep.
Well, in the last minute or so we have, or a couple minutes here, Seaborn Jones, give me the best advice for those of us whose wives love wine and get continually bored with the wine they bring home. Give me a suggestion, something I can knock her socks off with.
Well, I think the best way to go about that is go to a local wine store where people have the knowledge to help you out. That's where I started. I'm not talking about big warehouses or some places that aren't quite so personal.
It could be a little embarrassing.
Well, no, not necessarily.
You don't know your Riesling from a Malbec, and then.
But that's what they're there. They're there to help you. So you go in and say, "Oh, my wife really enjoys such and such Riesling or such and such Pinot Noir, but I want to try something different tonight." And there are knowledgeable people that can help you out. That'll steer you in the direction. Something might not be exactly in your comfort zone, but that's again what I do at the restaurant. Same idea. People come in and they want to try something different, and that's really the fun of it for me. That's what I enjoy doing.
What's your favorite wine?
You gotta pick one. I always get that question. I do enjoy champagne, not to go back to the champagne thing, a million different producers. As far as reds go, Pinot Noir is probably my favorite grape. And as far as whites go, I'm going to go back to Chardonnay, white burgundies, and California Chardonnays.
All right, those are safe but good answers. All right, Chef Mark Graham from Taste in downtown Albany, you have 30 seconds to give me everything I need to know, the most important thing about cooking besides butter, which you've already used. 30 seconds, go.
Salt.
That's
Please use salt.
All right,
use locally grown. Use organic and or natural. Know where your product's coming from. Know who your purveyors are or the farmers. There's tons of farms up and down the coast up here in New York. We're very blessed to have them. Use their product. Use everything from any. I don't care if you're a vegetarian. I don't care if you're a pescatarian. I don't care what you eat.
But
you
now? Can
pescatarian.
What is that?
One who will sometimes eat poultry or fish, but no red meat.
All right, I got it. Go ahead.
But you want to just source your local food as possible, and the wines, it's not always optional. It's on the menu, but if you can't get a French Bordeaux, you can't get a French Bordeaux locally. So just make sure you're using fresh ingredients, healthy ingredients, balance. Butter is important, like
butter.
I said before.
Butter, yeah. I mean, that's what
salt,
it's all about.
Salt is important, but also local is important.
All right. Well, this was a lot of fun. And once again, the Saratoga Food and Wine Festival this weekend. You can find out more at SPAC.org. Thanks to Chef Mark Graham. Thanks to Seaborn Jones.
Thank you, Ray.
Thanks to you, Jamie, for being here. Thanks to you at home for listening. Support comes from Pangea Restaurant in North Bennington, Vermont, catering Southern Vermont weddings and corporate events with menus designed for special occasions, VermontFineDining.com, and Facebook. Ackerman's Appliance, Hudson for 37 years, a locally owned dealer of appliance brands such as Sub-Zero, Wolf, Blue Star, Bosch, and more. Showroom on Warren Street, AckermansAppliance.net. And the Meat Market, Great Barrington, full-service butcher shop featuring locally grown pasture-raised meats and a cafe serving lunch Wednesday through Sunday, daily soups, hamburgers, and specials, themeatmarketgb.com. Thanks to Colleen O'Connell, who answered the calls, Zach Malloy, our engineer, our producer, Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Now, by my calculation, it's Friday. On Monday, we'll be back. Alan will be here at this time for a Medical Monday. Have a great weekend.